And so we are on this 12th. Let me get all outlined here. We're on the 12th article, indeed, of the harmony of the law and the gospel. And on this second portion of this article, it says, let me just read it. We believe that the law of God is the eternal and unchangeable rule of his moral government. That said law is holy, just, and good. And that the inability which the scriptures ascribe to fallen men to fulfill its precepts arises entirely from their love of sin, to deliver them from which, and to restore them through a mediator to unfeigned obedience to the holy law, is one great end of the gospel and of the means of grace connected with the establishment of the visible church. And so we're looking at this portion here that the law of God is holy, just, and good. And that brings us to Psalm 119, which we've gone through and considered it. There's eight words that we look to and see in this psalm that speak to us about that which has been uttered by God. You know, we need to understand that with the Bible. Well, we call it the Bible. And we hold to in our church, at Olmsted Baptist Church, the use of the King James translation, King James Version. There are other versions in other languages that are good translations of the Scripture. We use the KJV. And we need to understand that this is God's Word to each and every one of us individually from God who lives in eternity and always has. Understand that. God never had a beginning. The Scripture declares that. He declares that about himself. He never had a beginning. He didn't have parents. He has no beginning. God was not created. He is evermore. He is everlasting. That's the reason one of his names is that. And so he has always been, and he has created us, created this universe, created this world, given us life, and he's spoken to us through our brethren, 40 men over the course of 1,600 years, to tell us what he believes. You ever think about it that way? God believes something. And in the Scripture, he tells us what he believes. And you know what you and I need to do? We need to believe what God believes. We need to line up with him, because that is the way of life. And so here, in speaking about the Word of God, we go to the Word of God, which is the authority on the Word of God, and we find this psalm attributed to Brother Ezra, a man himself in captivity. I had failed to think about it that way till today. Brother Ezra, if it is in fact that he wrote this psalm, he himself was in captivity and sent by either Cyrus or Darius to do the work that he did, if in fact he did write this. And some of the verses that we'll see tonight even maybe speak about that. And the Lord used him along with 39 other men and inspired them, moved upon them with the Holy Spirit of God and caused them to speak, caused them to write this good book that we have today. This is God's Word, and we need to hear it. Indeed, it is holy, just, and good. Eight words that we're on the lookout for as we go through this psalm. That first word is law, which means a statute or a precept. These words are intertwined. The testimonies, the witnesses, the witness of God. He's made a witness about some things, what he thinks about some things. The way or ways, like a road, like the course of life. The precepts, a mandate. God says, this is the way it is. That's it. No debate, no discussion. That's the way that it is. Statutes, an appointment, or I like that word, bound. The Lord set some boundaries. Commandments, which also refer to the law or the ordinances of God. The Lord has made some judgments about some things. He said, this is what's wrong with this, and this is the punishment for it. And he's done that many times. Judgments. Telling the crime and telling the penalty. We also see the word Word. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. It's a name for him. A matter, a book, Chronicles, language, message. And then we saw last time this word ordinance. This word ordinance also comes in there. And it's the same word or the same meaning as that of judgments, the verdict or the crime and the penalty that the Lord lays out. So this evening, we want to take a look at this latter third of the psalm, and we're just going to read through here. Again, remembering, we're looking for these words. We're going to come across some verses that don't have those references to the Word of God or the law of God or the testimonies of God in it. We'll run across a couple of those. Also, keep an ear out how these verses sound. Some of these verses sound very much like that which we hear in the New Testament. Different references in the New Testament by the apostles that wrote, or the brethren that wrote, or even the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of the things that he said. We hear that through this. See, we need to remember that when the Lord was upon the earth, the Lord Jesus, in the day of his ministry and to build his church, they had the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. The New Testament was happening then, if you will, from the Lord Jesus fulfilling his gospel. And it was happening then. It was taking place then. It was only later that it was written about. And so what our brethren had to read was the Old Testament scriptures. And as I've mentioned to you here in the last, couple months, be on the lookout as you read, as you listen to the Word of God. Be on the lookout for the Old Testament references. Because see, if you and I don't understand about that thing which the New Testament scriptures are pointing to in those Old Testament references, we won't get the fullness of the understanding and the meaning about even the New Testament scriptures. Somebody that says, well, the Old Testament's just, it's old and I don't need it. Well, we do need it, because it will help us. The Word of God, it all goes together because it's a living book and it is from our Lord. All right, Psalm 119, verse 121. Again, this psalm is laid out, each group of eight verses, starting with subsequent letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And there's some papers up here. If you're interested in seeing about that, you're more than welcome to have those. And so each eight verses, and maybe in your Bible it's busted up by those eight verses, doesn't come through in the English, but in the Hebrew they start off with that same letter and then move on down the line every eight verses. And so in those papers I've got up here, you can see that in the Hebrew. Verse 121. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. We find a lot of these verses, as I've mentioned to you before, some of them are condemning the declared love of our brother for the Word of God, and what God has uttered is it's convicting. It's condemning. And that's not a bad thing. That's good. We need to feed on the Word of God and know the Word of God, and it needs to be near to us. Understand, this is the Word that's going to go on with us into eternity. And it speaks to us about our Lord. The things we have to live life, we have to do the things that we do, we have to tend to our families, provide for our families, all those things of life that we do. But you know what? Only the things we do in obedience to our Lord go on before us to lay up treasure in heaven. Remember, this world's going to burn up. Before I came here, I loved my work. I mean, love is a strong word. I really, really liked the work that I did. But you know, all that stuff, all those machines I worked on and installed and helped build and program and fabricate and all that stuff's burning up. Probably by now, most of it's in the junk hole. But what's eternal is what the Lord's given us in His Word to obey Him in our lives, in our family, in our church. And those things, they go on before us. They go on before us. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Lord, deliver me. Be surety, verse 122, for thy servant. Be a steadfastness. Be that word surety speaks about being interwoven, protection. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. And you think about Nehemiah and Ezra and the calling of the Lord upon them. In that leadership that the Lord gave them, no doubt they had times they felt alone. Go read those books. being men, men being men, it happens. And they, no doubt they felt alone. And if our brother did indeed write this, it comes through. He petitions the Lord, "Let not the proud oppress me." Verse 123, "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation." This verse I find interesting. "And for the word of thy righteousness." We see the word there, speaking about the Lord's word. "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation." That word fail means to cease, to quit. "Mine eyes quit for thy salvation." I can't see anymore. I can't. "And for the word of thy righteousness." Is it that he's longing to see the full salvation of the Lord, you know, when we're with our Lord? Verse 124, "Deal with thy servant according to unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes." Lord, teach me your bounds. You've got some bounds. Teach me those. "I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies." Kind of like Brother James writes that the Lord's got wisdom and he's willing to give it out. He doesn't abrade anybody that comes to him looking for wisdom. He gives wisdom. And the psalmist declares, "Teach me, teach me. I am thy servant. Give me understanding," verse 125, "that I may know thy testimonies." Lord, teach me and give me understanding. "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." Look, boy, there, that's a serious verse, isn't it? Taking that the Lord has declared, taking that even in our nation that the Lord has declared from the beginning regarding this of marriage and our justice system, saying, "No, that's void. That's void. That's empty." I tell you what, it's time for the Lord to work. Tragedy again. Wickedness at hand just south of us. What, down in Antioch? Expect more of that, because if the Lord takes his hand off of our nation, men will run wild. Madness and wickedness will ensue. It'll be. Now, the Lord, we pray that the Lord will help us and protect us and that we might stand. But just a senseless thing. Men in so empty themselves don't want to live life themselves and want to take the lives of others. What a terrible, terrible way. What a terrible, terrible way. But if we turn our back on God, that's what we will have. And man will turn to himself, and he's full of nothing but wickedness. "It's time for thee, Lord, to work." That would be a prayer for us. "It's time for you to work, Lord, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." The gold's going to burn up, but the commandment of the Lord's going to stand. "Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false way." You know, it's not good to be a critic of the Scripture. You don't need to be a critic of the Scripture. We need to look to the Scripture, and as our brother pleads the Lord, "Lord, speak to us from your word. Help us to understand it." If we think that there's something that is a contradictory, the contradiction is with us. It's not with the Word of God. It's not in what the Lord has given us. There's not a contradiction that's there. The contradiction's within us. We need understanding. And we need understanding of what our Lord has spoken. We come here in verse 129 to the next letter. "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them." They're great, Father. They're wonderful. The testimonies, the witness that you have said, they're right. You know, the word of the Lord and obedience of the Lord's word brings peace. You want peace in your life? You want peace in your life with the Lord? Oh, I'm thinking about next week over at the conference over at Calvary. You pray for me about this, but I'm thinking to preach about tribulation. I think there's a misunderstanding about tribulation for the children of God. There's going to be tribulation for the children of God. Oh, we won't be judged with the wicked. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Scripture bears that out at all. We will be dealt with by our Lord separately, we who are saved. But it's with much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. But the thing is, to have peace with God, there's no greater blessing. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, and indeed they do. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The simple can be made less simple by the word of God. By what we who are simple, we can be made of greater understanding by hearing what our Lord says. I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for thy commandments. I must admit to my shame that I've been thirsty for water and for drink, and I've looked forward at times being thirsty. I haven't ever been days thirsty. I don't think anybody here has been thirsty for so many hours or so many days. We have great blessing in our country that prevents that. But as we would be hung or thirsty for a day or two without drink, and we would pant, we would just be looking for that water, something to drink. He says he pants for the word of God. I long for thy commandments. Verse 132 and verse 122, we saw no reference to the word of God in that verse. Also in 132, we don't see a reference there. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. I wonder if that's usest to do. Usest is to do. That word usest, it speaks. I looked it up and I can't remember. It's not like he's not doing that anymore. Okay, but I think. With the meaning of that word, it may be a reference to the time before they were in captivity, if it is Brother Ezra. Again, he's a captive. He's the king's cupbearer, is he not, if I remember that right? And he, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name, as it was with our nation, Father. Be merciful to me. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's what sin will do. Over the man, the woman, man, woman, boy, or girl that's without Christ, sin has got them. They're held captive. Don't even know it. Sin has big hooks, and sin can even take the people of God. We will not lose our salvation by any wise, because we're eternally saved through Christ. But sin will have dominion over us if we allow it to have dominion in our life. And we've seen that in the book of Romans, haven't we? That sin should not have dominion over the children of God. Vice and wickedness of the world, we've been saved from those things. And we need to put that sin away. Order my steps in thy word. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. Verse 134, deliver me from oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. I'll keep your mandates. Deliver me, Lord. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Again, shine. Bless me, Lord. Bless me with you. What you know, show it to me that I may know it and be helped with it. Rivers of water run down mine eyes. He's crying. He's weeping because they keep not thy law. Speak to those in our church and otherwise, and looking at the terrible things that go on in our nation and what one sin brings another wickedness, And there's indeed a grief that we have for our nation and the wickedness of our nation. It is a grief. It is a sorrow. It well should be. Our attitude should not be that it's just nonchalant and that it's a grief. Listen, these things will drag our children down. They are destroying us. And may God be merciful to us and to our children, to our grandchildren, to our community, to our nation. The fall, I've been thinking about how in Revelation it declares about the fall of Babylon. The reference is there, I believe, to the world system, the world economic system, the world governmental system, the world, even world religious system. It's going to fall in a day if we understand those scriptures right. And you know what? The fall of nations before that time can be a testimony of what's going to come worldwide one day. Our nation can fall. Had a little mishap yesterday, didn't we? Any of you that use data, was that driving you all crazy, Brother Mark? You escaped that? Yeah, or some of our technology in the Southeast went haywire, and no phones, landline, cellular, no data. And that was just a little blip. We need the Lord. Our government won't be our salvation. Technology won't be our salvation. Our own sheer will and grit and determination will not be our salvation. Sinners need saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be a witness of Him to others. Because they keep not thy law, it causes me to weep, Ezra says. Verse 137, the next letter. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Praise to the Lord. As our brother had mentioned about prayer a couple Sundays ago, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Do you ever talk to the Lord? Do you ever talk to the Lord? Do you ever talk to the Lord not asking something? We do a little evaluation. Most of the time I'm asking rather than just praising. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. I mean, out there mowing the grass or going to the grocery store or doing whatever you do, work, doing your hobby, doing your work. Did you just ever praise the Lord that He's big and great and gracious and loving and kind and willing to give His Son, and that Jesus was willing to come, and that He'd given you the Word, and you weren't born over in a tribe in Africa somewhere in the heart of Zimbabwe? Nothing against those folks. But I'm glad to have been born here. It was not owed me. We just need to thank the Lord for His goodness. Our brother is doing that, isn't he? Righteous art thou, O Lord. Upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Again, another reference like 136. Now he said, I've got a zeal for what you say. Those that are against me, they've forgotten what you've said. And what you say stands. Verse 140, a hallmark passage. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Don't be a critic of the Word of God. Be a student of the Word of God. Don't look to pick it apart. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. The world may not know I exist, but Lord, I'm looking to you and what you have said, your mandates. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, and yet thy commandments are my delights. You ever go to the Word of God? And I know we can read about some of the prophecy and some things in end time events, but even in that we see our Lord, the kingdom of our Lord coming more at hand, where all men will see. Right now the kingdom of God is at hand. It's just not acknowledged by men. It's just not seen. One day it's going to be seen. Jesus is going to show up and everybody's going to know it's Jesus. There'll be no introductions. The Lord will show up to rule and reign. He will. And He'll be known. I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Trouble and anguish, verse 143, have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The Word of God will bless us. Even in the midst of trial and tribulation, hardship, Have you ever come away from the Word of God and be worse in your situation? No. No, the Lord can help us. He can help us through His Word. We just need to believe Him. Do we have faith to know that our Lord's Word is a blessing and a help to us? Verse 144, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. A righteous word our Lord has given, not the vain, wicked words of men. but everlasting righteousness in the testimonies, the witness of our God. Give me understanding and I shall live. I'll live. Lord, help me to see it. Father, help me to see things the way you see things. You know, we can be tempted to have this little 10-year, 20-year viewfinder on an 80-year life, and God sees the whole big picture. We need to see things like our Lord sees things. Amen. We'll be helped if we see the picture that God sees and he lays out for us in his word. Next letter, verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. Hear me, Lord. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I want to live for you. Deliver me. I prevented the dawning of the morning. And that word prevented is a word that means precede or come before. Even as we see it in the New Testament, I prevented the dawning of the morning. He was up before the sun came up. I cried, I hoped in thy word. You know, Daniel was blessed to read Jeremiah's writings, or the book about Jeremiah, and was able to understand some things about the captivity of Israel. And don't you know when the Lord blessed him with that, that it's going to be 70 years, that there's going to be an end? Don't you reckon that gave him some hope? Don't you reckon that encouraged him? See, when we learn the Word of God and we learn and take those promises that Brother Peter talks to us about, and we know those promises of our Lord, it helps us. It helps us. It gives us hope. Romans speaks about having experience in the Lord. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. I'm looking before even the night watchman makes his rounds, that I might meditate in thy word. That's something we don't do. Nothing wrong with this kind of device. Nothing wrong with the technology that drives it. But it can keep us from things that we ought to be doing. I'm afraid and think that we don't meditate upon what our Lord said enough. We need to think about what he said too. Take it and mull it over. Think about it. Talk to the Lord about it. Lord, what's this passage mean? What's this verse mean? Hear, verse 149, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me. Make me alive according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. They're getting close, Lord. They're doing wicked things. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Ever. They'll last forever. We're going to see that in another verse here coming. Next letter, verse 153. Here he makes petition, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. You know, sometimes we just have to do that. It's, Lord, I'm standing for what's right. I'm going to your word, and I see that that's what your word says, and there's controversy about that. Lord, you just got to take care of it. You got to take care of the one that's contrary to that or opposite against that. Plead my cause and deliver me. Here's what your word says, Lord. Quicken me according to thy word. Help me to understand it. Make me alive in it. Verse 155, salvation is from the wicked. I'm sorry, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes, thy bounds, thy appointments. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. The verdict, the crime, and the penalty. You know, to know this whole thing about capital punishment doesn't do any good, I tell you what, if capital punishment was administered, it would do good. Men would fear. Men would fear. And that's not a bad thing. When there is a capital crime that's committed, and there's witnesses to it, and it's a sure thing that there's evidence there, needs to be a capital crime. It'll just take care of a lot of problems. But instead, we've gone after this system that the Quakers, that we've inherited from the Quakers. And look what happens. Mentioned it here not too long ago. Criminals kept up in jails for decades and treated better than our elderly in nursing homes. Talking about blindness. Talking about madness. Every county in the country ought to have a rock quarry run by the county jail. That's my opinion. Salvation is far from the wicked. They seek not thy statutes. Verse number 56. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Lord, men around me, they move and they shift and they change, but you never change. You're solid. I can trust in your testimonies. Verse 158. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Don't keep what you have said, Lord. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, make me alive. That's what that word quicken means. O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. Hebrews gives us a great promise that we can go to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Our Lord has done that. Our brother does so. Verse 160, a hallmark passage. Thy word is true from the beginning. From the time that the Lord gave it, it's true. It's solid. You know what? You can take this book and live your life and stake your soul on it. What this word points to. You can put your life on it, in it, because it points to Christ. You understand how I mean this. You can take your family, you can take your life, your soul, your family, our church, and follow this good book and trust it right on into eternity. Trust our Lord in it right into eternity. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Forever. Next letter, 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Wow. And I tell you what, you delve into the word of God, you will be awed by it. You take time to slow down and meditate upon it and think about it and see the wondrous blessings and truths that are in God's word. You know, this Bible just isn't for preachers. It's not just for preachers and pastors. This good word is for the children of God. It's for all of us. And I tell you what, you delve into that thing, you delve into this word, and you learn pieces and parts, and you take the time, and I tell you what, it'll take a lifetime, and you still won't get the job done. But I tell you what, delving into this word and learning about those foundational accounts, those historical accounts, those doctrinal things that are in there, those references in the New Testament to the Old Testament, the promises and prophecy of the Lord concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and then our brethren that are there in the Old Testament and all the things that the Lord, how the Lord dealt with them and how they pointed to Christ and the Lord's work in building his church and the promises that he's going to, on how he's going to rule and reign and deal with this earth and all. I tell you what, you take those pieces, you take those parts, you take it over the rest of the time that you've got, you start putting that together, you'll be in awe of the Word of God. And then when he shows you something new, or maybe like it's getting to be with me, he reminds you of something you used to know. and he opens that back up and you see that again. It's a blessing. It's like, wow, wow. Look at our Lord. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You had something that you lost, then you find it again. And do we rejoice that way? I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Lying is a terrible, wicked thing. It's in the commandments not to lie, especially lying against somebody else. I love thy law. Thy law I do love. Verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Praise the Lord during your day. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, the scripture says, I believe it is in Ephesians, that tells us to be angry and sin not. But you know what's better? A little bit later in that chapter, it says, just go ahead and put away anger and clamor. This verse here speaking about being offended. You know, when things happen, things or people cross us, you know, it's just better to take it and leave it with the Lord. Leave it with the Lord. Lord, you've got to take care of this. It's bigger than me. I don't know the answer. Or give me the answer. But it's just better not to be that way and follow after anger. If we don't follow after anger, we won't follow after wrath, which is anger with legs on it. You start doing something about things. Great peace, verse 165, have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There'll be no confusion either, knowing the word of God. Well, understand, you know, there is a sense that the wicked, those that are without Christ, there is a sense, I heard a brother say it years and years ago, he says, there is a sense that the wicked without Christ, they're victims of the enemy. They're victims of the enemy. Victims of sin. Victims of Satan. It's no wonder they behave the way they do. Just like I used to behave before the Lord saved me. Amen? So if we understand where they're coming from, it's no wonder that there's behavior that way. Great peace have they which love thy law. See, if we understand things as the Lord understands things, it can give us great peace indeed. Nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. I look forward to your complete salvation. One day we'll have a saved body. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. Verse 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. You can look at my life, Lord, and you can see if I've done it. Lord, help me that I would. Last letter, verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me, Father. Does the Lord hear? The Lord knows everything, doesn't he? He knows. He knows every word of every person that's ever been and is and will be. He knows. He hears. But Lord, hear me unto action. Father, work in me. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Lord, hear this request. Deliver me according to thy word. If it is Brother Ezra that wrote this psalm, remember, he was faced with what to answer the king about what was troubling him. And he prayed, Lord, what do I tell the king? Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips, verse 171, shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. You tell me your bounds, I'll praise you, Lord. I'll be able to praise your name for your goodness, your warning, your rebuke, your reproof, your instruction in righteousness. Verse number 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. What better thing for there to be in the mouth of the child of God? Verse 173, let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Help me, Lord. I look to you. I follow you. I hear you speaking. Help me. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. Lord, work in me. Use me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Lord, you don't need me, but I sure need you. For I do not forget thy commandments. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Psalm 119. Indeed, we see that what is written here, that it tells us about the law of God, his word, his testimonies, way, precept, statute, commandments, judgments, word, and ordinance. His ordinances are holy, just, and good. Next time we'll continue on with this article and take a look at the next part. Again, if you would like these sheets I've got up here regarding Psalm 119, you're welcome to these. And it tells about the different Hebrew letters, and you can see it in the Hebrew, how it starts with that letter every 8 verses, and then some other things that are in there. It's only by the word of the Lord that sinners like you and me can have life, and that life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sinned, we fell in Adam, and were condemned in our sin. Not only did our father sin and pass on that nature bent towards sinning to us, but we naturally just love sin. We love sin, we love darkness, and in of ourselves, there's no sinner that has hope. But God determined to send his Son. And in that, the Son determined to come. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, that's what we need to do. And God, the Son, came down and became a man so he could be a sacrifice for men. He became a man. God can't die. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a man so he could die. And he came and he was born and he was a little baby and he grew up just like we did. He had to be, I believe he had to be taught things and had to have his diaper changed and had to nurse and all that. The scripture says he bore our infirmities. Well could have been that our Lord even got sick, because he has no sin, not even the thought of sin within him, but he was subject to everything like we are, yet without sin. He engaged being and is part of the human race. But he doesn't have our same daddy. He doesn't have the daddy we have, Adam. But God's his father. And he lived, he grew up, and took care of his household there, of his mother, and that as the oldest son, it seems. And then at 30 years of age, he went and was baptized to John the Baptist, because that's where the authority for baptism was. And then he started his ministry as John fell away. And for 3 years, he went preaching and teaching and healing and working miracles. And at the end of that 3 years, he submitted himself to the death of the cross. He gave himself willingly. He entered into that willingly. And he gave himself over to that, and he was taken by the hand, in the hands of wicked men, and they did what's natural for them to do. They put him to death, yet he gave his life. And he died. And on that cross, he paid for the sins of his people. There, not in hell. Our Lord didn't go to hell. He paid for them on that cross. He was put in the grave, but he didn't go to hell. He paid for my hell, and if you're here and you're saved, your hell on that tree. Carried that burden of sin, yet he was sinless. They put him in that grave, and he was there for 3 days and 3 nights, and because he's God, he can't stay dead. Isn't that a wonder? Isn't that neat? Isn't that a grand consideration? He could not stay dead because he's God. Not only did he die and pay for sinners' sins, but he was buried and he rose from the dead. You know what? Because of that, we have hope of eternal life. Not a maybe it's going to come kind of hope. Not the lottery kind of hope that men have in this world, but a no-so hope that we will live with him. We'll have a body like his. Are you saved? Do you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of your soul, granted forgiveness of your sins by him because of what he's done? Not what you can offer God, but because of what he's done for you. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Christ. You can be saved through repentance and faith in him. Admit before God you're a sinner and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. Any doubt? Any quandary? Any uncertainty? Any question? You take that to the Lord. He's got the answer for it all. I'll be glad to help you any way I can. You can take that to the Lord.